I have to tell you, I'm kind of a bad mom. A lot of times we go the junk food route because I don't cook as much as I used to anymore. I will in my new kitchen. I'll tell you that much.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, that'd be awesome.
But I'm telling you, when the kids were little, I want to say that Jimmy Mack was one of the few dads I knew who would get a Happy Meal for the kids, but then come home and make green beans with it.
Nice.
So they would have a Happy Meal, but they would have some vegetables as well. And now you go to McDonald's, and I got to be honest with you, their value menus. You can really get dinner in a hurry for cheap, and the kids like it.
I had a Big Mac over the holidays.
It's good,
it was,
isn't
so
it?
So good. But I used to have a lot more Big Macs. I don't, so that's a good thing. Everyone does it. Don't think you're a bad mom. I get home late now. I always make dinner. Even at 8 o'clock at night,
you do?
Not always. Let me say, I try, and lately it's hard because it's late, and I feel bad for the kids, even though they're adults. And
I know
why they're not making me dinner,
right?
But a lot of times I will do the Jimmy Mac thing. I will go to KFC and get chicken, and then I'll make my own size
right
to go with it.
All right. Well, you've heard this in the past. You've heard that junk food and fast food and processed food is addictive. I've heard it. I don't believe it. My 15-year-old was trying to give up on it because I told him it was addictive. And he goes, no, it isn't, really. And he stopped having it. And lo and behold, he wasn't craving it as much. So we have a food addiction expert on the line with us. And she has written a book called Processed Food Addiction, Foundations, Assessment, and Recovery. She has a Facebook group, Food Addiction Education, which gives you free online expertise to food addicts around the world. And please welcome to the show Dr. Joan Ifland. Hi, doctor.
Hey, good morning. Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. Now, we were talking about processed food, and I'll be the first person to admit it. I'm not too proud to say it's awesome. It's really tasty. But there's a reason.
Yes,
it's tasty,
of course.
And it's addictive, isn't it? Please explain how this becomes addictive.
Okay, so plants have naturally occurring endorphins in them, and when you concentrate them, they become addictive. And when you eat them repeatedly, the brain actually adapts. It starts to secrete more dopamine, more stress neurotransmitters, and fewer decision-making transmitters. So that is the process of addiction. And if you were beginning to smoke cigarettes, for example, that would be a gradual process that would occur in response to each additional cigarette. So you have to do it repeatedly before the brain starts to create those really intense urges at the same time that you can't quite remember why you're not supposed to be doing it. So it's a 1-2 punch. You've got the urge, and then the memory part of the brain is not bringing up the reasons not to do it. So the brakes aren't working while the dopamine pathways are going full steam ahead.
So it truly does make you feel better when you get your addiction filled. It chemically makes you feel better.
For a moment. So to me, the cycle is, and not just to me, but in the research, the cycle is about 20 minutes. It's very similar to a cigarette, where you feel better for about 20 minutes, and then you start into withdrawal. You feel worse, and you think, oh, well, I just need another fill in the blank, and all feel better. And that is the addictive cycle. Withdrawal avoidance is one of the things that continues to drive the desire to have things that, are not really good for you.
I just quit smoking November 12th. I was having
congratulations.
Thank you. It's not that big of a deal. Yeah. I hate when people congratulate me, but it was a big deal to me. I was having my knee replaced, and they said that, you have higher risks of complications and don't heal as well if you smoke.
Mm-hmm.
So I quit smoking. Mm-hmm. I was working with my partner, Bill Leff, who's on vacation today, and he said, you know what's weird? Since you quit smoking, you seem less stressed to me. And it is true, because now I'm not worrying about, oh my God, when is the commercial over? I'm going to run outside and have a cigarette. So I am less stressed.
Right. Yes, and also addictive substances activate the stress pathways in the brain. So when you get the dopamine surge, which is the craving, The brain attempts to compensate by increasing the stress neurotransmitters in the brain. So when you stop stimulating the dopamine, you also stop stimulating that stress pathway.
All right. Now, how does this work with, a quarter pounder or a McDouble or a Wendy's double? I don't want to just, yell at McDonald's.
Yeah. So there are a number of categories of addictive foods. And when you combine them, they become more addictive. So sugar is a big one. And there's sugar, for example, in the ketchup. Salt is another one. And the salt content of that item is pretty high. Dairy is another one. Dairy has four different kinds of opiates in it. And when you concentrate it into cheese, it does become addictive. And processed fats. And then if you have that meal with French fries and a soft drink, you are introducing more sugar, more caffeine, and then the processed fats that are used to make the French fries.
All right. How do you break this habit?
Okay. So what, I'm so sympathetic to the idea that we don't have time, and that's true. I have a system for making all your meals in 2 hours on the weekend.
Wait, and all your meals for the week in one 2 hour increment on the weekend?
Yes. So you just pack your oven, you make your salmon fillet and you make your roast and you roast your chicken, you make your turkey patties, your oven is packed and all your proteins are made on the weekend in 2 hours. And then you make all your starches. So you make a pot of beans and you make a pot of rice and you bake your sweet potatoes and all your starches are made so that when you get home, all you're doing is dumping some salad into a salad bowl and putting out the proteins and starches that you've already made. And at the same time, you've got a meal container out and you're packing up your lunch for the next day.
You are a genius, but now people have to follow this. Dr. Joan Ifland on the line with us. You can follow her Facebook page, which is Food Addiction Education. She has foodaddictionreset.com as her website. She's on Twitter at PF Addiction. And you've also written a book, Process Food Addiction, Foundations, Assessment, and Recovery. We're going to take a quick break, and then we need to delve into that two-hour menu planning for the whole week once again.
Thank you.
All right. And if you have questions, 312-981-7200. It's Wendy Snyder and it's Judy Pilak in for Bill Leff on 720 WGN. Because we have a very intelligent guest, Dr. Joan Ifland, on the line with us. You can follow her on Twitter at PF Addiction. You can go to her website, foodaddictionreset.com. And she also has a Facebook group, Food Addiction Education. We are learning so much about processed food. But Judy, you have a question for Dr.
Ifland. Right, Dr. Joan, are you saying that fast food is purposely made to be addicting?
There is evidence for that. So, for example, I know a former director of research for one of the big food manufacturers, and he told me, now this is him, but it's his personal experience, that he had scientists under him whose full-time job it was to make the foods addictive. And I think what we have to remember is that the tobacco companies got control of processed foods in the late 1980s. And from that time on, you see the application of a marketing model. It has a fancy name. It's called the Modern Industrial Epidemic of Addiction. And it has very specific elements. I call them the five A's of an epidemic of addiction. It's advertising, affordability, availability, young age of onset, and addictive properties in the food. So we know, for example, that we have reports of scientists who are using MRI technology to formulate processed food products to deliberately stimulate that production of dopamine, which is the core of the alterations that the brain goes through to become addicted.
Okay, so that makes sense because I was thinking, I usually make dinner every night, and You know, but I use butter. I use sour cream a lot. I mean, I come from this Eastern European background where we use a lot of dairy and cheese. And so, you know, but just the fact that I'm making it from, you know, sort of from scratch, that's going to help not become addictive?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, absolutely. Because the amount of salt, for example, that the
way less.
Food industry puts in, yeah, is way more than you would ever dump into your own meals. And you're not using food additives. And we really don't know what food additives the food industry is using these days. So you have a head start there, absolutely. And you're not going to use the really highly adulterated processed fats.
But what about
so
meat?
Yes.
What everyone's complaining
meat, no.
about with the steroids and the, you know, I mean, are we okay with that still?
Well, what I say about the meat issue is that first get off the processed foods. Because meat is not a processed food.
Okay.
Get off the processed foods. You know, get your budget to where you want it to be. Because processed foods are actually turn out to be more expensive than unprocessed foods. Your health will come back. Your medical expenses will go down. You know, you'll be so much calmer. You're not running out to get processed foods and you're not going back and forth to the refrigerator. So you might be able to, for example, improve your earnings. So there are lots of financial issues attached to processed food addiction because it makes us tired and depressed. So once you're out from under that, you can say, well, look, I could take a little part-time job here, and lots of ways to improve your financial picture. Then look at the meat issue because, yes, of course, you know, we would like to not support abuse of farm animals. But that's what I call an advanced issue. Don't even think about that until your life has become more stable and more pleasant and more energetic as you come off the process.
Like any addiction, one day at a time.
It's true. And, you know, I think about it, and my mom worked. She was a single mother, and she cooked dinner every night, and it was always, you know, some kind of meat, some kind of starch and some kind of vegetable. And, you know, yeah, I guess carbohydrates are supposed to be the devil's food, but not when eaten in moderation, you know? And
I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
Go ahead and finish.
No, that's just
okay,
it.
So the whole deal with all foods is to divide them. So if you say to an alcoholic, you've got to stop drinking, you're not talking about water. You're talking about alcohol.
Right.
So we're used to dividing beverages into alcoholic and non-alcoholic. So if you do the same thing with food, then bingo, the light comes on. So you have your unprocessed, non-addictive foods, which are the meats and potatoes and rice and beans, which have not been ground up into a powder, for example. And you have your low-sugar fruits and you have your beautiful vegetables. Those are unprocessed, non-addictive. And then on the other side, so this is the great divide. On the other side, you have your sugar and sweeteners, you have refined flour, you have dairy, you have excessive salt and processed fats and caffeine, and those are addictive. So those are like the alcohol, and then the other foods are like water. Some are safe and non-addictive, and others are addictive. So once you really get that deep on the inside, wow. Wonderful things can happen.
We are unfortunately out of time, but I would love to talk to you again about, I'm kind of a Diet Coke addict, and I hear that, you know, the fake sweeteners are bad for you. So we will book you again for another time. In the meantime,
we can
read your book, Processed Food Addiction. You can go to foodaddictionreset.com. Also follow Dr. Joan Ifland on Twitter at PF Addiction. Where can we find those recipes? For on a Sunday, 2 hours worth of work, and then you're set for the week.
Wendy, thank you so much. That is a book which will be on Amazon within the week. You know, we've just brought out the big book, the Processed Food Addiction Foundation Assessment and Recovery is I would call it a definitive work. I wrote it over 3 years. It has 2,000 citations. It's a 240,000 word book. It answers all the questions about processed food addiction from the evidence, from the research, very well-grounded book. But as I put that on the market, I thought, you know, people are going to want to know how to do this. So we, within the week, we will have the prep manual, the meal prep manual up on Amazon. And I'm so grateful to you for inviting me back. And we'll talk about that one then.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Dr. Ifland.
Thank you.
Happy eating.
She makes so much sense. I kind of don't like her.
That's how things work with you, huh? All right. Judy and I will be going to the stream momentarily. We'll take a quick break, and then Steve Bertrand will hold down the fort here on 720 with the Wind Trust Business Lunch. That's coming up next on WGN.